The United States has devoted $3.4 billion to improve the power supply in Iraq since the 2003 invasion. But most Iraqis can still count on only a few hours of electricity a day. It's a story of botched plans, corruption, and unreasonable expectations. NPR's Ann Garrels reports.
Adnan Ismail Siddiq's family gets city power for only an hour a day. It relies on a local generator for a few hours more. His daughter-in-law quickly does the dishes, knowing the water will soon run out when the power does. The rest of the family watches TV, taking turns to quickly bathe. The generator can run a hairdryer, but it's not enough to run an air conditioner. A washing machine sits idle.
Unable to use anything. It's like a joke.
After 5 years, this frail old man is in despair.
We had so many promises, I don't believe anything now.
American officials came into Iraq with big promises. As a first step, U.S. officials distributed what power there was more equitably. Terry Brannick is a senior advisor with the U.S. government's Iraq Transition Assistance Office.
The system was designed and operated to give Baghdad 24-7 and to hell with the rest of the country. When we came in 2004, we decided that there should be a much more equitable allocation of power. That's one of the reasons the people in Baghdad are so upset, because historically speaking, they're used to power almost all the time.
But no one is happy now. Some parts of the country are stealing more than their share of electricity. Stations are supposed to turn off customers on a schedule, but Brannick says operators are threatened or bribed to keep the power going.
There are criminal factions. There are, I would imagine, sectarian factions that are still out there who are trying to reward their friends and punish their enemies by intimidation.
The result, the fragile system is overloaded and frequently blows.
Starts to what we call trip the machines. It turns these generators off, and you end up with brownouts and blackouts.
These repeated blackouts have severely damaged an already precarious system. 12 years of sanctions crippled the country, yet when U.S. officials arrived, they were stunned at how dilapidated the infrastructure was. Then they weren't prepared for the looting, which destroyed the power grid even more. A lack of security then allowed saboteurs to regularly blow up transmission towers. Last year, Iraq finally produced more power than before the war. 5 years ago, that increase would have been enough to cover the country's needs. But demand has increased 125% because now that sanctions have been lifted, Iraqis are buying appliances. Initial plans to improve electricity were based on poor intelligence. The U.S. put in easily installed combustion turbines, but this was based on the assumption there would be natural gas to run them efficiently. There is gas in Iraq, but no way to capture and use it. There should be enough petroleum fuel to power existing plants, but the oil ministry will not supply it, preferring instead to export it or, in some cases, steal it. U.S. officials have made little progress in their efforts to stop ministerial infighting and corruption. The U.S. also bought 20 huge generators to provide additional power. After 2 years, they're still sitting at the Jordanian port of Aqaba, caught up in a web of corruption, government disputes, poor planning, and security problems. And even when they finally arrive, there may not be enough fuel to run them. Terry Brannick acknowledges the early, frequent rotation of U.S. advisors did not help matters.
There has not been a good continuum of institutional record-keeping and memory.
The U.S. is no longer providing large amounts of money. With billions in the bank, Brannick says it's now up to the Iraqis to build their own infrastructure. But even with a government that can function, it will take years.
I think a year from now will be incrementally better than we are today, and it'll get better progressively over the next 5 to 10 years.
That's chilling news for Iraqis who must anticipate another sweltering summer. And according to Brannick, many more to come. Ann Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.